Hey folks, welcome back to the show. Grateful to have you here. I'm grateful to introduce you to my guest today, Sarah McCrum. Welcome, Sarah. It's good to have you here.
Thank you, Forrest. It's good to be talking again.
So as I was mentioning to you as we were just hanging out before the recording got started, this is my podcast, and the innovation for this podcast is that it's called, I call it a field first podcast. So we pay attention to the field of consciousness and the field of well-being that we're speaking from as we're in relationship with each other and exploring together. And I invite all the guests, and in this moment, I'll invite all our listeners and all our guests to really relax into and be resourced and recreated by the field of well-being and generativity and resourcedness and love that we're hanging out in and speaking from. So I want to welcome you in that, Sarah. And I want to contextualize this conversation a little more. And before I do that, I just want to ask how that is for you to hear.
Well, actually, first of all, it's very nice to hear. And secondly, since we last spoke, I've done a huge amount of work around well-being. And that was something I just felt like in this field I wanted to introduce. Last year, I was in particular need of some well-being at a level that I hadn't experienced before. And, I've done a lot of work around it. And I had this experience, and the words came to me, the well of being. And they became a code for well-being. So I just say to myself now, I'm in the well of being, and the well of being is in me. And it connects me instantly with this very deep foundation of well-being that's in every single one of us, regardless of how we're feeling at the moment. And I developed a series of codes. I call them well-being, the source codes, or the source codes of well-being. But I just wanted to share the well of being because it so often has a direct effect for people. They can instantly feel what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it evokes an experience for me immediately, as you say, the well of being. I feel the source of the well of being. And yeah, just want to invite our listeners to feel this and connect with and listen from the well of being as we're here today.
Beautiful.
Okay, so I want to keep teasing out this thread because there's so much here. And just to quickly contextualize a little bit for listeners, I imagine anybody listening to my podcast knows who you are because I talk about you so much and I've referred everybody to your book, Love Money, Money Loves You. But in case we've just met in the last days and you haven't heard me talk about Sarah before, Sarah, you have a background that I love. You studied energy work with Chinese masters for 2 decades, and then you essentially channeled a book speaking as money directly called Love Money, Money Loves You, which is a book that I've read and or listened to many times and has deeply impacted my experience and the experience of dozens and honestly hundreds of people that I know at this point. It's a meme in our culture and a shared field that we all have. And what I most appreciate about you, or where I feel like our meeting point is where the mystical and the marketplace come together. Like you and I can hang out and we can go all the way into the etheric and the most subtle realms of how do we navigate the subtle terrains of the energies that are unfolding in the larger collective and in relationship dynamics, with also you have an organization called Love2, which is doing real work in the world. I mean, you all have created a new meta model that values the contributions that regenerative farms are generating to benefit the ecosystem and the consumers of the products and food that's produced at the farms. And you have created a financial product that values this benefit and listed it publicly on a stock exchange and raised money to support these
Not
farmers.
yet. Not yet on the stock exchange. Just we have to
Okay.
be correct about things like that.
On the on yeah, and are in the process of listing these listing this financial product to be publicly traded on the stock exchange. In is it in Sweden or Switzerland? Remind me where it's going to be listed.
No, we're most likely it'll start in Australia
Okay, beautiful.
and then probably it will be listed somewhere else. But because we're dealing with financial stuff, we have to be very, very accurate
Yeah.
about what we say.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, and so if anyone here is new to Sarah, I encourage you to find her book, Love Money, Money Loves You. Sarah and I also have many YouTube recordings together. If you go to my YouTube channel, you'll find our we hosted a Future of Money event years ago. We've had conversations on generating and regenerating our emerging future. And yeah, I'll just share all that to give context to listeners, welcoming you all in and welcoming you and Sarah. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. It's so nice to talk with people when you've so engaged with the book, which I know you have. I know that you used to speak as money in groups. Maybe you still do that. So you've really embodied that. Like money is something real. It has a real presence, and we can connect with it. We can relate with it. It's not just this hard, cold, transactional thing that we see passing through bank accounts, but there's an energy behind that that is actually very tangible to us and very beautiful. So I love the fact that you've engaged with it so much and shared it so much and talked to so many people and inspired so many people as well to have a different look at money.
Yeah, and so just looping these together, the money and the well-being conversation, I have been hearing from just over and over and over again from people in my networks and people in the world, this line of Forrest, I'm spending my well-being to make money, and then in the nights and weekends, I spend my money to get well-being. Is it possible that I can live in a way where I get more well-being and more money in a way that's generative and regenerative instead of spending one to get the other?
Oh my goodness, what an amazing, amazing question. I mean, that's really what the essence of Love Money, Money Loves You is about. It is really about how can we have a relationship with money that is good for us and good for the planet and good for society, like good for everybody, and not just good for people who already have money, but good for people who are currently poor and would like to engage with money more. But I think why I love that question is because as from that moment last year, it was in September last year, and one day I said, I have to have a level of well-being that's beyond what I've currently experienced. And to put that in context, for anybody listening, I've spent 22 years training with Chinese masters. That means what I learned about was health and well-being and how to solve every problem, relationship problems, money, business problems, health problems. I learned all of that. So, and I've managed my own health without seeing a medical doctor for 35 years now, and without a host of alternative practitioners. You know, I might see an acupuncturist once or twice a year. So I manage that through the knowledge that I have. So I already had a very high level of health and experience and the ability to heal. But I was looking for a kind of well-being that was beyond that or deeper than that, and was not about how many vitamins do I get and what supplements. I've never taken supplements anyway. I mean, very, very rarely. I take one now, and that's so unusual for me. So I've not been run by that. But I think most people's idea of well-being is run by the gym and the schedule and the products, and then you have to have the clothes and all the, you know, additional things. And to me, that becomes in the end a kind of not well-being, because it becomes another treadmill. And if you're in business and making money, it fits into the same kind of energy. It's like I've got all these things to do, and I've got to fit them into a certain amount of time, and I've got to budget for them. It's exactly the same skills in a weird kind of way as you have to use in business. And so it's not really surprising that it gets exhausting. And when I got that code, I was just walking through my bedroom, and it's like the well of being, and I felt it. And it was the beginning of a radical change for me in well-being. And I'm not going to say, oh, overnight I was a different person, because actually what happened was I found a much deeper foundation of well-being. It's like the foundation of well-being that's in me and that's in life. It's not in the supplements and it's not in the things and it's not in the outside. It's in me, and it is so deep, and it's the well-being that sits in creation. It's in the formation of life itself. And so it enabled me to tell a different story about life and who I am and what I'm doing here and how that relates with well-being. And that what that did was it started to change my whole story about, yes, myself and my role in life and what well-being is and what it isn't. And it connects with wealth, because what came, one of the codes is the well of wealth. The well of being turned out to be the well of wealth. And another code is wealth is in the community. And I started to explore how we have this idea, which is just so funny if you think about it, that my wealth is mine and I need to have my personal wealth. And I understand why we have that, but it's so absurd. Because if you want to create wealth or you want to receive wealth, you can only do that in community. You can only do that with other people. You need relationships. You need a connected web of relationships in order to make money, not just a single solo relationship. And you need to contribute. If you want to make money that makes you feel good, that gives you well-being, you need to contribute to the well-being and the wealth of the community. And the well-being and the wealth of the community will be returned to you in very abundant generosity if you do that contribution. And that's what, as human beings, calls us to our higher selves, or it gives us that sense of purpose, or a noble, it's a noble activity, whatever language resonates for you. When we contribute to the well-being and the wealth of our community and we are rewarded, we receive back from that, which we inevitably are. We feel on track. We feel like this is my life. This is where I belong. So I would say my foundation got pretty at a certain level disrupted, actually. And because of who we're talking to, and because of you, really, Forrest, and what you talk about, I think it's worth explaining a little bit of the change in there, because I know that you'll find it interesting. Is that okay?
Please, please.
This is probably not supposed to be a monologue, and it is becoming one, but I just there's a little bit I want to
I
share
enjoy
here.
listening, so please.
So as you probably know, and from all the energy work I've done, I have a very strong ability to download and to access energy. And I have an ability, like I did with writing the book, where money spoke through my pen, so I can channel. I've also learned ways of channeling that don't just come straight into my pen, they actually come into me so I can experience it. And I'm able to access information very easily from the field. I do that all the time. Maybe you call it sourcing. People have different names for it. But what I found with the well-being is that it doesn't come from there. It comes from like a deep place. In a way, it's inside me. In a way, it's inside life. And what I found is that there's a container of well-being, and all that energy stuff sits in that container. So I changed the root of how I do things. And now I have to start with this well-being, which is in creation. I always come back to creation, the formation and the life coming into being, life making itself, coming back to there. And that, so I had to reorient everything, find this new foundation of well-being that's in creation, and then see how all that ability to access energy and to source information sits inside that container. And so it was a bit of an upending experience in some ways, but constantly guided by these beautiful codes that bring me instantly back to this well-being, which is already here and always has been. And I remember early experiences when I first started to experiment with it, it was like feeling that, sometimes we feel like, oh, I wish I had what I had when I was a child. That kind of just natural enthusiasm. It's like life's enthusiasm's flowing through you. It's not your enthusiasm for life. It's like life's enthusiasm for itself. That's it's that kind of thing that starts to flow more easily with this well-being. So you feel directly connected with life. And then we start to explore, okay, how do we bring that together with wealth and true wealth? I've started to explore much more about true wealth. What is true wealth? And then and what can we grow that contributes to true wealth? So I have four currencies that now I focus on growing. And so it makes a much more interesting game, really, of being in business, which is obviously where we create our wealth. So I think, yeah, that's really just the beginning of a very big topic and conversation, but such a great question that people are asking you.
Yeah, and I mean the resonance is just so deep, as it almost always is when you and I are hanging out. I imagine, I've been using the phrase the ground of well-being, which sound for me it feels like it's spoken from exactly the same place where you say the well of being. And similar to you, about a year ago I started this practice that I just called deep, deep, deep. And it was my most favorite workshop that I facilitated for everybody loved it so much, but it was instead of like awakening and going up, it was dropping deeper and deeper and deeper into the ground of being. And from this place, from the ground of being, there is what I call the wellspring or the spring of well-being, which is like when we get grounded in the well of being, to use your term, there is an overflow and a pouring forth that happens of well-being and wealth and life and creativity and passion and aliveness. So that's a little bit of what
It
it's been
takes a bit of
like.
adjusting. I think there's a bit of adjusting to actually really live with that and live from there, because once you taste it, you don't want to go back to the old way. But we're trained in old ways. And so, yes, it takes some practice. But for me, every single, like, this is, I start my day with it every day. And your codes are just as good as my codes. Like, the ground of well-being is beautiful. And that sense of the well-being welling up inside us, not pouring down, is really interesting. And it makes what I'm seeing, I think it's affecting the questions people are asking. I think this is very timely. I found recently, for example, that I have very little tolerance anymore for doing what I should do. I think that I'm really good. If you've trained with a Chinese master, you are trained in discipline. And everything is what you should do. There's no room. There's a lot of spontaneity, but it's within a disciplined form. And I am so good at doing what I should do, and I have very little tolerance for that now. It's like, if it doesn't come from well-being, I'm not interested. But I have a business, two businesses, and I have responsibilities. So how do I navigate that? Those are the kinds of things that I'm noticing. And then I see in other people, maybe they don't have the questions quite as clearly as I have, but they're actually hovering around that same territory. So it's been very interesting, I think, in terms of the evolution of the field.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, in a kinesthetic way or in a sensorial way, the impulses that arise out of the ground of well-being, the well of being, are from creation itself. They are so powerful versus the impulses that come from our personality or from emotion or drama or whatever. It's like there's such a kinesthetic difference in the potency of the impulse that for me it's like the more diluted ones are like they can't even move the system anymore. There's not enough juice in
Yeah,
them.
and absolutely. And the other thing that I've really have come very face to face with, which I've always known, or I've known for a long time, is the disempowerment that goes with being emotional. I think many people, and I can say this for myself, have experienced more emotion over a recent period than I had for a very long time, because I've done so much work, and really, I was pretty neutral about a lot of things and pretty peaceful, and I've ridden so many dramas in my life. And then suddenly, really, especially last year, I started to find all this kind of much more dramatic stuff being rooted up inside me. A lot of it to do with, I think, big collective issues, the masculine and feminine, the shifts in energy in the financial systems, and the enormous rigidity of the current system and the enormous power that sits in there. And then here we are trying to make new systems, and you can feel so weak in relation to that power. So very big themes that go with the kind of transformation that is going on in society, but that disrupts stuff that probably it would have been a lot more comfortable if it had just been left, just left lying still somewhere hidden inside me. But clearly it wasn't to be. But the price, I mean, I have to say this, people hate it when I say this, but to me, to be able to find peace, to be able to find that neutrality, to be able to say, this is happening, I don't have to be emotional about it, is such a gift, because emotion just drags, it just drags the life out of everything. And look, it's I grew up suppressing all my emotions, so I really had to learn how to kind of find them, and I try not to suppress them. But I just we start to talk about self-mastery here, really, that every effort we make, I would rather spend my time learning self-mastery than doing old-fashioned well-being. Because with self-mastery, I have to exercise, I have to look after myself, I have to eat good food, because otherwise I feel horrible. And but it comes from a desire. It doesn't come from a I must, or I'm a bad person if I don't. And that's also, I think these things are shifting. Because we want to do things because we want to, not because we feel that we have to. So, yeah, it means there's quite a lot going on, really.
Yeah, and I just feel really connected to you in this, and I feel care for everybody who's sinking into the well of being, because in my experience, we do hit something that is collective, and we become a part of this collective well-being unfolding, and that is sometimes tumultuous in ways that, for people like you and me, it's like, this doesn't even make sense. Like I'm not used to walking around experiencing much drama and turbulence in my life, and all of a sudden, what in the world is going on?
It's nice to hear somebody else say that. I'm so often in the role of the teacher. I'm so often helping other people to stabilize themselves, and I love doing that. But I do notice, and I have heard other people, teachers with many, many years of experience, also saying that things are more turbulent now than we've experienced for years, I think. Yeah, and it can be a shock when that happens. But it's extraordinary. The one thing I can say is that it's extraordinary what depth and what beauty arises out of that turmoil. That is really, yes, really, like, it's difficult to put into words the gratitude that I have for what I've been able to learn through navigating these deep societal themes that have been in place in, that the masculine feminine thing, which has never really been a thing of mine, but it has to be faced in some way, not about men and women, but about the energies, especially in relation to money. But this is the theme that goes for so many thousands of years. So we don't have really good models to work from. We don't have even archetypal stories that help us very much. So sometimes it feels like we're navigating this, and it's not just the women navigating it. This is a genuine navigation between the yang and the yin, the masculine and the feminine, or however you want to put it, and also the material and the mystical. They all come together in some way. It's a genuine navigation of territory with no there's no pathway mapped out for us, because where we're going, we haven't been before, ever. I don't think ever. And there's no teacher out there who you can go and listen to. I'm a teacher and I guide people and I help them, but they have to find it for themselves through their own life and their own story. So we support each other in our community, and I know that that's the same in your community, but each one of us is needing to shine our own light on the steps in front of us to be able to even say which see which way's forward and which way's backward. It's remarkable. And I think we have to be very forgiving of ourselves when we wobble and fall over.
Yeah, I love that you said that, the forgiving of ourselves, and I really appreciate the laughter, because from the ground of being, when the emotion comes up, if we have some wisdom and some experience, it's like, okay, the drama's here, the emotion's here. Like, let's have a sense of lightheartedness, some joy, some playfulness, appreciation even. Like, we know there's another layer of distortion that's coming up to be released. And the clarity's on the other side of this process. So we're not going to make any big decisions. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to be here, be present, navigate through this with skill and precision, the subtleties of being in the unfolding of what wants to be freed, to be available for the clarity and the resources that are on the other side of the emotion. And that sense of lightheartedness, and like, I mean, literally, it's like, oh, okay, like, this is drama. Let's turn
Here
up
we
the.
go again.
Yeah, exactly. Here we go again. Let's act it out and have fun and enjoy it. It's like, oh God, here we go.
I think you're a bit ahead of me on that one. I think I'm just beginning to get there. But one of the things that I has been a real eye-opener for me with these well-being codes is recognizing that. Oh, I think we've frozen.
See.
I think, oh, it sounds like we're coming back.
Think we're back. Said something that's been eye-opening for you about the well-being codes.
I'll go back to what I was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say that again. One of the things that's been really eye-opening for me about the well-being codes is this recognition that one of the codes is that life loves itself, and that out of that love for itself, it creates experience, because otherwise it can't experience itself. It can't, love without anything else, it doesn't get expressed, so there's no experience there. So, and it was very freeing, because what I realized is, which is obvious, and of course I knew it, but I re realized it at such a different level, is that every experience that happens in life is part of that love of life for itself, that it created all this diversity and all this complexity and ways that we can get muddled up and mixed up and clash with each other and bump into each other and sometimes ride over each other, all the things that we do that make us feel very uncomfortable. Because if it just made pure love, pure light, there would be nothing. And time and time again with my clients as well, I found myself just seeing so clearly that this thing that feels so dramatic in their life, it's like, oh, life's having a really great experiment here. It's having an experiment with separating from your partner. It's having an experiment with this, so that you can experience more love, actually, and you can experience more of life. And there's a freeing that comes with that. I started, when people talk about I am statements and the power of saying I am, I started to say, I am powerful and I am weak, because there are areas of my life where I'm always going to be weak compared to a tree, for example, or an aeroplane or whatever. I can say I am all of it, and I'm the tiniest, tiniest, tiniest little fragment of life. I'm both of those. I've started not trying to make myself just powerful and wealthy and all of it, but just let all of these pieces be here in me. And then it's like, oh, that's a relief. I didn't realize, like, I've done a lot. I do a lot of deep stuff as well. And I've done a lot of work on integrating the negative stuff, not getting rid of it. But you don't realize until you hit that well-being how much of yourself you've rejected over the years and never really uncovered. So it's actually very, very cool to talk about this. I've not talked with anyone else in this way before. It's, yeah, I'm really loving it.
Yeah, I mean, hearing that, I'm like, is there anything else you're not feeling met in, or is there like, I'm like, I have this gesture of like, okay, let's play. I'm here. I imagine meet you because I'm pretty deep in this playground.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I should I need to take this invitation. I'm just looking to see what's going to come out because well, you know what? Actually, I talked about the masculine and the feminine, and I talked about the material and the mystical. Those are the two things that really come up around money because my work is around money and wealth and shifting the dynamics. What really comes up to me to meet, actually, for all of us is your question is how do we actually meet wealth and well-being together, or success and well-being, or business and well-being, because our traditional ways have actually put them, as the people you've been talking to have said, have put them in opposition to each other. And I would say for me, my life is a daily, very big navigation of that. And if that one feels like there's probably quite a lot to be met still in there. It's the central work of my life. I recognize that in a way. It is my life's work. So I don't need it all to be met today. But, and of course, it would be nice if it could, but that's the old fantasy dream that doesn't really work. But it feels to me like maybe what you and I could do is commit to exploring some more of this, either together or with other people in public, in a way that is sharing an experience that deepens our experience and deepens other people's experience. Because if we don't, or at least if, well, really all of us need to learn how to bring together well-being with wealth creation. Because we cannot have a healthy society without that. It's actually not possible. And so, to me, it is the call of our age to discover how to do this, to grow the navigation skills. It's never going to be perfect. We need those well-being markers, those warning signals to say, hey, don't go this way, it's going to hurt. So, but I feel that this conversation is one that needs to be grown, and it's public. It's for sharing.
Yeah, and as you're saying this, I just published an article recently called Embodying Inherent Value. And one of the points in the article was about how if you go into any boardroom or let's say any, but most boardrooms or most strategy meetings in the world, leaders and strategists get together and say, what's the customer's pain point? And then they develop a product or a service in relationship to a pain point. So there are businesses, services, and entire industries and economies sourced from a pain point that needs to be there for that product, business, and economy to exist. And what's at the root of our work, you and me, Sarah, and the work we're doing with Love2 and our emerging future and the incubators I've been running, the coaching we do, the work with money, is launching the well-being economy. Which is saying, hey, we all have access to well-being. We all have access to the well of being. And the support that we're offering is being there with you while you access it for yourself and discover what's it look like to unfold as the well of being in life and to provide where we're not giving people the messaging that you're not enough, you're broken and need to be fixed, that we need you to be in pain to need our solution. It's like, no, you're inherently valuable. You have access to well-being. You can live life in a way that you create more well-being and wealth in the moment. And we're here to support you as you do that so that we emerge a new economy and way of being together.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried. It's really interesting with my community. I've tried sometimes because I talk to marketing people and I'm always trying to learn, and then I try to follow their advice. And I've tried doing the pain point thing, And the minute I do it, people start to feel allergic to it. They can't accept that in this context. And yet, of course, there is pain there, and it's not about not acknowledging that because it's part of our experience. So to me, yes, this has been my marketing exploration, is how can I communicate to somebody the potential of really being yourself, being who you are in the full. We've started to say be your true self. It's not actually what I want to say. I actually want to say be yourself, but people tend to need that extra word, because otherwise they think, well, if I just need to be myself, nothing's going to change. That it's hard to get the context. But actually, I don't even believe in true self, because what's your untrue self, you know? But this permission to actually exist on this planet, and to know that you have a place, and that your bad bits are as much of your contribution. Because look how often it is we have a fight with somebody, or we do something which we wish we hadn't done, but it is the spark of a better relationship. It's like, so how can we speak to the whole of the human being, but also just show what becomes possible, what we know is possible, and what we already experience increasingly, that well-being economy, a living, we call sometimes talk about a life economy that values life. And then if you value life, you have to value well-being, because it's the same thing. That is possible, and that's actually natural for us. It's not natural, really, to be in an economy that is self-destructive. It happened by mistake. It happened because of a misunderstanding, or a series of misunderstandings and, directions. It's like, you take a wrong turning on the road, and then every turning after that is wrong. But it's not inevitable. It's not in the nature of money, and it's not in the nature of economy. It's just something that's happened. It's like we need a course correction here, because we can do it better. Oh, it feels so good. Doesn't it just feel so good talking about this?
Yeah.
It
It's amazing.
feels so central, like central to life.
Yeah.
It feels to me like I can speak from the center of my life when I talk about this kind of thing, and I feel that you do the same.
Well, and in the concrete body, it's like my midline is opening up. In the energetic body, it's the central channel. It's literally the center of our being, emanating out more light and more well-being and resource and goodness into the world.
Yeah.
So one of the things that comes up for a lot of folks who I'm working with when this conversation's going and I'm speaking from this place is a trust issue. Like, hey, if I really open up and start living life in this way, what happens if I run out of money? How's this going to work? Like, a lot of trust issues, and they somatically show up in the lower chakras, like in the pelvis, in the perineum, in the lumbar spine, tends to be those areas where people are having the somatic experience as they're sharing about their trust issues. So I've been in relationship with people about these trust issues, and I told you I wanted to bring some of these questions I've been hearing from people to get your views. So maybe you could, yeah, how is that question for you to hear? How's that for you to hear?
It's so interesting. I was talking yesterday with somebody who's very high integrity person, and we were talking about trust and transparency. And I was actually exploring how we can live with trust and transparency. They go together, I think. So being really open about who you are, not hiding yourself, it's part of that territory. In a world where not everybody's living that way. And that meets your question, because people are not living that way because they're afraid that they won't have enough money, and they're afraid that if they do the wrong thing, somebody's going to hurt them, or they're afraid of doing business, they're afraid of not doing business. There's just so much fear, and we can't eliminate that. And so it's been very much on my mind, and I notice for me personally how when I can operate in trust and transparency, I feel good. And what I know when I feel good is that I make better decisions. And when I make better decisions, I'm able to navigate when I don't have much money, for example. I'm able to find a solution to that rather than going into a panic about it. So money is one of the very big things that people find it difficult to operate from trust with. But actually, finding that place of trust, which is trusting yourself, trusting especially your deeper self, that really who you are, trusting life that you were made in well-being. You weren't created in original sin. You weren't created as a being who needs to purify yourself so that you can earn the merit of God's favor or whatever else it is. You weren't born wrong. You were actually born in well-being with a story, in a context, and that context has limited you in lots of ways and hurt you, and that's all part of it. But you are a human being, grown, cultured, if you like, created in well-being, having this experience of life. So when you can trust life, that life is fundamentally behind you, it's supporting you. It's actually, it doesn't do things to hurt you. It can hurt. Life does hurt, but it's like life isn't set up for hurting. The energy, we grow from hurting, but it's not set up to get you or to punish you or to hurt you. The thing that I can say, and this conversation came up yesterday because I did something that I wouldn't normally do. I spoke about something very transparently that is very personal, quite confidential, and I knew it needed to be spoken about. And it was in a business context where you wouldn't normally talk about it. But I felt that it was the right thing to do, and I did it. And it was such a relief not to keep everything hidden, which would be the normal business behavior. I don't really want to talk about the example it very specifically. And I was met on the other side by somebody with that same trust and transparency. It's like we share those values of trust and transparency and in a kind of integrity, which is a kind of wholeness, where we can be open about things that are not right or things that are risks, for example. We don't need to hide it. And I wanted to organize a conversation around that, another public kind of conversation, because it's very difficult sometimes to trust when you're surrounded by people who don't trust. But my experience is that if I get sucked into their vortex of fear and not trusting, I get emotional. I lose my judgment. I lose my better judgment. I get very judgmental of myself and very self-critical, and I feel inadequate and not enough, not good enough. If I fall into that vortex of fear around money, it's never mine. I don't have it for myself. I have huge trust for my own money. But when other people are struggling around me, I can get sucked into their vortex sometimes. And I don't make good decisions, or I don't function very well. If I stay in the trust of myself and life and what I have access to, I feel at peace. I make wise decisions. I manage my money. I've had lots of interesting money challenges over the last 9 months, running two businesses where one's a startup and is being largely funded by the other, which wasn't really made to fund another business, just puts pressure. And I've managed it. If I look back, I'm actually really happy with the way that I've managed that, because I've never panicked about it. I've never Like there was underlying stress for sure. There was pressure. Let's say there was pressure, but I've always been relaxed about it and I've always trusted that it's going to be okay. But I have made decisions. I've written emails that made money. I took the actions, But I could not take those actions if I didn't have the peace and the relaxation and the trust sitting underneath that. And I've navigated it with a team who, honestly, for quite a lot of months, every single month, their pay was in peril, I can say. And they knew exactly where we were. I didn't hide that. But we never had, I never detected there was any panic. Everybody, we just knew we were going to do it. And we did every single time. So to me, the trust and the transparency, I bring those together because I don't think you can have trust with a lot of secrets hidden. That makes you really feel uncomfortable. If you can bring those together and live by them, they give you the inner core, really, to be able to do whatever you need to do. There is nothing to be gained by losing it, and there is everything to be gained by growing it.
Yeah, you're singing the song in my soul right now. I've been using the word congruency recently, and it's like when what you're saying and when what you're saying and what I feel from you are congruent, right? When they're in harmony as you're communicating, that for me is what's trustworthy.
Yes. Yeah.
Like when
And
they're
that creates a transmission. We're transmitting energy all the time. And if what I'm thinking and what I'm saying and what I'm feeling and what I'm doing, we've actually got at least four things there, and what I'm sensing, if those don't line up, everybody's trust antennae are actually immediately triggered. But we're so used to it that we override our own instinct and we end up doing so many things that we would never do if we really, really listened. And when all of that aligns, I talk a lot because I teach about energy transmission and it's what I was trained in. When that's aligned, the trust, it's a language that we speak together. And what I find in business, and I love this, I meet people now quite often who operate from that place. And I'm introduced to them in a business meeting. And we immediately start this dialogue that happens between our energy. It's like our energy is talking. There's all this blah, blah, blah talk going on, which is important business stuff. But the trust is being built through a different language and it's immediate. And when I connect with people like that, I don't even need to know their life history. I don't need, like, the trust is absolutely solid because the transmission is aligned. And when it's not there, I mean, I just think sometimes I should, what actually the question is, what do you do when it's not there? I would like to say, just always work from being there. I can be there myself, but I can often feel when other people aren't there. And it's very disturbing when you're very sensitive to that kind of energy. How do we, I think that's a very big question. How do we navigate that? I'm curious how you navigate that when you're in conversations with people who probably irrelevant, and you need to be working with, not in a client type relationship where there's an agreement in place, but a business, a peer relationship to discuss something. That, I think, is a very big question. If you want to live a life of trust, integrity, congruence, transmission, all of that.
So let's unpack that. And before we do, I just want to give a few examples of where I'm seeing this everywhere right now for people listening, because it might be helpful. So, the most famous example of this would be if you ask someone how their day is going and they're like, "Oh, it was great," right? Like, it was fine. It was fine. It's like you're transmitting all this anger and frustration, telling me your day was fine. Obviously, your day was not fine. Like, what's actually going on? So the two places that I'm seeing this the most are I'm gonna talk about a business person and I'm gonna talk about a consciousness person. So in the business person, it's when there's my experience is almost like a dissociation or an ejection out of the body, out of the somatic experience. What's going on in the body feels like nervousness, fear, not knowing, like. And then there's a very active talker who's like, "We're going to build this thing. We're going to create this thing. That's going to generate this much in revenue. We're going to hire these people." And it's like that thing can talk on no without stopping, just forever. And so my business people who I contact with and are having this thing of fear or uncertainty, or there's something going on the bottom, and there's a disconnection from that, and just story of where the future is going to go. That's one I see a lot. And the second one is in consciousness communities, people who are doing healing work, people do a lot of meditation, similar kind of thing, except the story is not about business goals. It's about peace and love and harmony and coherence and all the words of how perfect and synchronistic and serendipitous and magical that
Awesome. I'm awesome.
yeah, that
I
life.
always used to joke about that.
And so, from a practical perspective, what I do to your question, these are not clients, these are peers. The first thing I do is check, where am I coming from, right? Because if I'm getting triggered and stuff, I'm like, all right, can I access the well of being? And then from the well of being, like I had this today with somebody, and I said, hey, do you mind if I pause you for a moment? I mean, do you mind if I pause you for a moment? And they were like, yeah, sure. What's going on? I was like, I just my experiences. So from a practical perspective, not telling someone else this is what they're doing, but saying for what it's like for me over here is I hear the words you're saying, but I don't feel you. And what I want is to feel you more. Like I find myself asking, what's really going on for you? Because I make up that there's more than what you're telling me. Like, how's that for you to hear? And for me, it invites. Like, there's not a projection. There's not a telling somebody else their experience. There's an owning of my own experience of what it's like to be on the receiving end of the communication and inviting a new moment. And if somebody's like, if I need to go deeper into that, one of the things I can do is like, I notice, like, let's say I was with you, Sarah, and you were telling me all these things that were great in your life, but your energy was transmitting a bunch of sadness from where I sit. I might say something like, hey, Sarah, I notice as I'm here with you right now, I'm feeling a lot of sadness in my system. Like, I'm not sure if I'm getting that from you. There we go. Okay. Yeah. So I might say, like, hey, Sarah, can I share with you what it's like for me to be with you right now? Or can I share what happens for me as I'm with you? I notice I'm hearing what you're saying and all this amazing stuff. And I also notice I feel this deep sadness. Like, I'm not sure if that's in me or if I'm picking that up from you, but I want to name it and have it present here because I feel it so deeply. Like, how's that for you to hear? And it just brings the thing that's not conscious into relationship in a way where we can start to explore what is that together.
That's a really nice way of doing it, especially if you're with somebody who can hear that. I find myself in many situations just needing to be, or and sometimes really having to. I often find myself in meetings. It's like my energy is working like crazy in a way to stabilize the field of the meeting, especially sometimes if I've just jumped into it and haven't really thought about it. I'm just here, I've just landed in it. And then I suddenly realize there's all this stuff going on. And I know what it needs. It's like I know what it needs to feel like. That's how I work. It's like I know what it needs to feel like to for things to be able to work. And so often I find myself working really probably re really working quite hard at that. And then a lot of contexts I'm in, I think if I said something like what you said, it would come over like I'm a weirdo. which is not a comment about you, but it's a comment about the other people, you know, that sometimes you can't, it's really difficult to talk about that stuff. And interesting that I do some sessions with clients actually where I participate, where we do small groups and I participate just as me. I make it absolutely explicit. I'm not a facilitator, I'm not a teacher here, I'm just me. And I find people can get very in their heads. And then I don't want to say, oh, well, you're all in your heads, because that's not going to help anybody. So how can I find a way to speak so much from my own center that it brings people to that, like, so my energy creates a field around me that makes it safer for people to find themselves. I do that quite a lot. I would say just try to, so I speak with integrity. I speak from a place of trust and from that alignment all the way through. And then that my understanding is energetically that just creates a field around me that it's an invitational field, if you like. People's energy feels called into being more of themselves and less of that mask that's sitting in the room. Yeah. If I'm in a more of, if it's a very conscious place, you can then speak. It's easier to speak about what I'm experiencing myself. Or it's possible to name what's going on. Yeah, interesting.
And on the other side, when I'm not coming from the well of being, I name that to people. I say like, hey, I'm gonna voice this part that I'm in or this emotion that I'm in or whatever, and I'm very present to this as a part. Like, and I know everybody else already knows that, but I think there's trust in people hearing like, hey, Forrest is giving voice to something, and he's also aware that he's coming out of a part, so he's giving it space, but he's not acting it out essentially. And I
Yeah, and
feel
it's such a relief to yourself. I don't know if you feel this, but I often feel that kind of pressure, an unconscious pressure that I should feel like XXX. I
like
should be feeling really great now, but actually I'm not. I'm just feeling, and I might not be feeling really terrible, but I'm feeling tense. I'm feeling there's something going on. I don't know really what it is. I don't know if it's me or the field. It's probably, it's both really. I don't know what it is, but I'm not feeling how I think I should do, and that should creeps in, and that's often actually the pressure. That's often the tension itself, is that I'm feeling I should feel different. And naming it just takes that whole layer out, so that then at least it's just the pure raw energy of what I'm experiencing now without my own meta layer of commentary on it, which is so boring. It's just so boring. Yeah, interesting.
And I feel really impacted hearing you say the challenge that it is for you, because it has been so unfathomably challenging for me navigating this in business context and in relationship. I mean, it's like when things start going wonky, you know what it feels like when it's wonky, and you know what it feels like when two people are coming from the ground of well-being and everything's just flowing. My hand's making an infinity loop over here. It's just, easy, pervasive, flowy, and then all of a sudden, something gets off, and it's like, is this in me? Is this in you? Well, it turns out you're in me, and I'm in you, and our nervous systems are trying to clear, and the energy's whatever. And so I'm, and there's so many dynamics. I mean, you're speaking to, is this a hierarchical dynamic where I'm in a teaching position and you're learning? Is this a hierarchical, egalitarian
And
dynamic?
sometimes there are these mixes. I've coached people who then, but I'm also a business partner with, and they're very different relationships. And like that's going on. I woke up this morning and it felt like, oh my goodness, I am partly, just partly being lived by other people's thoughts in relation to me. It's like I could feel them. I could feel my husband's thoughts, and that, and when people are thinking about things, it's they're not usually thinking, oh my God, she's so amazing. They're usually thinking about the bits that are not. So it's like I could feel other people's dissatisfaction with me being lived through me. Three people in particular I could feel. My mother, I could feel that feeling of, she's 90 and she's very old. I could feel that feeling of me not being there and her thinking all the time about me being there, kind of thing, and wanting me to be there or wanting to see me or whatever. But I could feel it. It's because it's an unhappiness, actually. I could feel three different people, and I actually sat down in the well of being and I started to say the codes. I turn the codes into kind of poems. I say, I'm in creation, I'm in the well of being. The well of being is in me, the well of being is in everything. I'm in the well of being. I just kind of go round and round and then add in one code after another. And literally 2 minutes later, it was like soothing a baby. It was such a direct experience because I hadn't really noticed myself quite so directly being lived, or kind of, that empathic living somebody else's disturbance. And it was literally like, oh, just soothed my nervous system instantly, and brought me to peace. just actually really instantly, it's like, oh, I'm not thinking any of those thoughts anymore. They've all gone. And that again and again brings me back to the fact that I can feel like I'm being run by somebody else's thoughts or by the collective. But if I can access peace through a couple of minutes of saying some words, that probably tells me rather more.
Yeah.
And I mean, every day in a way is a new insight into the workings of this, the practical workings of life and of well-being and of wealth and of business and of partnerships and of relationships and of expectations and, you know, failures and, you know, all the stuff that goes with life.
Yeah. Yeah, and for, I mean, you're speaking to, for me, what's becomes a part of the more we go down this path and become more advanced practitioners of living life from the well of being. What's happened for me and what I've heard from a few others, what I hear you doing is number one, a really deep orientation to, there's an entrainment in the nervous system that happens of this is what it feels like to come from the well of being. This is how the natural rhythms permeate through the body. And then this is what the voice, this is the transmission. You said the word transmission several times. It's like this is actually the purpose of speech and of language and of sound, which is to emanate,
Mind.
right? This is to emanate and radiate. And you don't even think about the words. The words manifest from the energy. So there's a totally thoughtless thought that's going on of pure transmission from the well of being in a way that evokes more well-being in all the cells and tissues and bodies and life that's being contacted by the transmission. And so my passion is and is as we get more and more of us in this shared resonance field, right? Like you and I have been doing this podcast, I don't know, an hour now, but everybody who's listening, your cells, your tissues, your thoughts, feelings, impulses, subtle energy body are all being permeated with this energy that we're transmitting, with this transmission. And the more of us, like if you're listening to this, you might be able to connect to all the other people who are listening to this and feel the shared resonance field that we're in this moment of, you know, at least 100 people. I mean, there are hundreds of people who download these recordings and listen to them. So you can feel all the beings that are here with you reverberating in this way together and notice what that's like and what it could be like to be in community, in relationship, in business, in exchange with each other from this place, resourced with this energy.
It is the dream that we are making real. It really is. It isn't too good to be true because we are doing it. And okay, you and I are not making some money now, but we're both in business. We've done things together that are of a business nature, and a podcast is of a business nature somehow. We're doing it now, and we do it in certain situations. We don't manage to do it in all situations because we're on our way. But so it can sometimes feel like a dream if you imagine that for everybody everywhere, but it's not, it is the dream. It's like the dream of humanity, really, that is coming into being. And so that becomes a beautiful alignment, like a North Star, when we know, oh, this is possible. For me, it pulls me back time and time again to, oh, well, if this is possible, this is what I'm about. This is my work. This is what I do. And then if it's hard sometimes, it's like, okay, well, it is hard because it's a big change. And I've said this is what I do, and I'm willing to show up for the hard bits of what I do. I didn't come here just for grace and ease and flow. I came here to experience grace, ease, and flow, perhaps because it's not always been those things. They're all part of the experience. And one of the things I found myself doing when I started teaching these well-being source codes was actually almost training people or requiring people to speak from the well of being. and so that they could find out what does it feel like when I speak from the well of being. And we're always in the well of being, but what does it feel like when I've forgotten that? I'm not conscious of it, and I'm just speaking like I normally do. And it's such a profoundly different experience.
Yeah, and people ask me, there's oftentimes again the fear question of how's this going to work? Hey, Forrest, I see you do this. It seems like it works out for you. Like you have money, you're able to travel, you have well-being, you seem to be, it seems, you know, like things are, you seem to, this actually seems to work for you. How's this going to work for me? And you know, what I hear and what you're saying, the way I say what I hear you saying is we give ourselves over to this. We see, we there's this experience of,
Maybe I would say I give myself into it.
yeah, I give myself into it. It's like this force of creation and well-being is, it feels bigger than me. And there's a way I can relax
And
in.
also, it is me.
Right,
I could
right,
relax into it because I am it. I'm a
right.
part of it and I am it. I'm participating. I'm not waiting. I'm not anticipating something. There's a wonderful phrase in a book which says, "The world is waiting, anticipating." And for many years, I read this book over and over again. It's called, it's all about the well, actually, and wealth. What's it called? Oh, it's by Roger Hamilton, and I can't remember the name now, but it'll come back. And it says repeatedly, the world is waiting, anticipating. And that's that thinking like, oh, you know, it works for you, but it won't work for me. I'll wait, I'll wait. I know it's possible, but here we are. I always say we are creating, participating. We're already in it. We're already doing it. It's a part of us. We're a part of it. And therefore, there isn't actually that separation. We just think there is. And when you think there is, it certainly feels like there is. That's the creative power of who we are. We can, if you want to feel it, you can make it. You can make that experience. And that's a legitimate thing to do. Life. Was I talk now about not life, life and not life. Life has to kind of create the experience of not life. Otherwise, you can never know life. So it's completely legitimate to create an experience of not well-being, for example, or not enjoying. It's absolutely like there's nothing wrong with that, but we're not locked in it.
Yeah, exactly. For the parts of us that are in the story that we're separate from the unified whole, that are asking these questions of how do I do this? How's it going to work? There's a, we can let go into it, we can relax into it, we can let it have its way through us, and we can reconnect to the whole that we've always been a part of, even when we're in the story that we're separate from it.
I've remembered the name of the book because somebody might want to find it. It's called Wink and Grow Rich. And it's a parable. It's really worth reading, but you have to read it. I've read it at least 15 times. And it was only when I discovered the well of being that I understood the book.
Okay.
Without that, I actually could never, ever understand it. It's definitely a channeled book. It's really fascinating. It's fun. It's the fundamental principles of business, told through a little story about a little boy. That's very, very readable. The world is waiting, anticipating.
I've never read it. I'll check it out. I'll put a link in the show notes to it for folks, as well as a link to your book so
Thank
people
you.
can find yours. I'm feeling like a little bit of a shift in the energy. So what I want to invite people to do is get your book, go to love2, LOVETO dot group. I'll link this website in the show notes as well. Are there any other programs or offerings that you have live right now you'd like for people to know about, be aware of?
Well, go to sarahmcrum.com, which is the website where I teach and where I run. We don't really call it a program or a course, but well-being, the source code, since we've been talking about it so much, is an experience. It's an online gathering, really. And I run a program now called Wealth Streams, which is about growing the four currencies of money, time, relationships, and wisdom. So that's kind of cool. You can find out more about that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll put a link to our emerging future ecosystem. I had a conversation with Jeff Vanderclue recently, and he and I were sourcing that it would be great to have you come and do and have loved to have you and Tim and Jeff come do a workshop and an information session with our emerging future ecosystem and share about what's going on with you all. We have a growing collective. There's over 150 people in our WhatsApp community now, and just people who are passionate about this well-being economy and living from the ground of well-being and embodying it and playing life like this, being in relationship in the way that you and I are in this podcast recording. So it'd be a good audience for your life's work for sure.
I'd love to do that. And there's something I wanted to say, which just goes back to our previous conversation, because I think this is really important. I remember a time when you didn't have enough money.
Yeah,
And it's
totally.
not so long ago.
No. It wasn't. It was only a couple of years ago.
It was a couple of years ago, a little maybe February or so, a couple of years ago, and it was really, really difficult for you. I remember at one stage being actually concerned about you, and it was none of my business, but it was like, wow, here he is. He's reading my book and he's really living on the edge. And I know that the book didn't cause you to be on the edge. That was your life. You were wherever you were. So I think that's also an incredibly important point. I have had times where I was really on my edge and times where I made a lot of money based on the principles. On all this stuff that we're talking about. But I think that, because Forrest is able to do what you're able to do now, it doesn't mean you always were. You've actually created that.
Yeah, I mean that's why I champion your work so much. It's not like, hey, here's this random person with a book that you should go read. It's like, no, this stuff changed my life. Like I read things in the book that fundamentally shifted me and gave me invitations into like what I call the core drivers in your being, the core drivers in consciousness, the source codes, to use your language, which is like, how do we actually solve this inside ourselves? Like not in a thought-based way, but in an embodied experience way. And that's happened for me. I mean, I have an entirely different life now, an entirely different relationship with money. I have had times, you were mentioning in the last year, there's times where there's more money than other times. I mean, sometimes I have $45,000 in my bank account. Sometimes I only have a few thousand, but the relationship is entirely different now. It's like the money's permeating through freely. Like I feel, I've spoken so much as money. I feel so deeply connected to money. There's this constant encouragement from money in my life of like, yeah, this is the thing. Stick with this. Keep doing this. This is it. And there's an entirely new, like the things that money has showed me. I mean, money has taken me on these journeys where it shows me like, money as the interconnective tissue, the fascia of humanity, and the like pulsating life force energy that money is as connection between people and ecosystems and ideas, and how it resources and becomes more resourced as it works in more and more intelligent ways. And money's even showed me one time, money showed me like human beings still have this idea of ownership over money. Like we own money, it's ours. But at some point in the future, we're going to realize how crazy that is and give in our own psyche, in our own mind, give money back to money, essentially give power. It's like the same thing. Human beings have taken this concept of ownership on the planet. We did it to other human beings at one point in the form of slavery. At some point, we'll see we've done this in the subtle with money. And when we give property rights back to money and say, hey, we don't own you, you're your own being, what's it like for you to move with freedom when in your own sovereignty? That was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Like money going where it knows it needs to go to support the flourishing of the whole. I mean, it's just unfathomable. I get actually a little bit tearful. It's unfathomable the beauty of what's possible for humanity when we let money move the way it knows it needs to move to support robustness and vitality and well-being for the whole and for the planet. So anyway, yeah, that's some of what's been made possible by finding you and your work.
It's beautiful. You've shifted my point into a much better, a very beautiful direction. And there's a beautiful piece in the book where it shows that when we ask for and receive what we want, that fulfills us. And when money receives our requests and fulfills those requests, that's its fulfillment. It's like we each fulfill our potential by participating in this relationship. And we don't then need that ownership piece because we participate with each other. It's like a true partnership, participate, partner. And we flow together and we fulfill our potential through each other. That is just such a beautiful recognition.
And so, okay, so just to ground this in the personal one that you were inviting, like for a few for people listening, a few years ago, I actually there was one night I ended up homeless because I had $4 and I didn't have a place to live. So I ran out of money completely. And for years I was struggling. And then I found your work, Sarah, and you told me to do the most ridiculous thing that I would have ever fathomed, which was in the midst of all that to start relaxing. And it was like when I was in this fear, scarcity, how am I going to have enough money? You're like, what you need to do is relax. And I'm like, come on, don't tell me that. Like, right? I need a strategy or something. And so I developed a practice of relaxation and I committed to it and devoted to it every moment ultimately. But it was like, initially for an hour a day, I started taking a bunch of salt baths. I started sitting down and enjoying the sunset. I started breathing more deeply and going, okay, I'm going to relax and let intelligence sort this out. And I want to name that because I also want to name it in relationship to what's going on the planet right now, which is like collectively, my experience is we have a like if every human being is a cell in the body of humanity, if there are 8 billion cells in the body of the superorganism of humanity, I'd argue our nervous system is pretty dysregulated and we're running on fear and not enoughness and fight or flight and adrenaline and norepinephrine. And so the gift that those of us who find our work can offer to our collective we, to our humanity, to our being, is relaxing and sinking into right here, right now, in this moment, everything's okay. Sinking into the well of being, relaxing deeply and letting intelligence and healing, which are available to us in every moment, start to kick on their natural organic processes and move through our own personal life, our relationship, our work, our communities, and for the impacts of that to ripple out into the larger whole.
And as one community, one group does it here, they start to connect like regenerative farming. You change a bit of the farm and it starts to affect other parts. It will connect. You can feel like you're completely on your own, but it will connect. I just look at you and see how much you've achieved in this last couple of years from just determinedly running your little community, determinedly doing it the way you wanted to do it. And clearly things are moving much more than they were at that time. Just, I think, because you showed up and you did what you wanted to do.
Yeah. And like you said, it's this interesting thing where we relax deeply and at the same time it's not passive. It's still very active. I mean, we're very active participatory in what can feel like a non-doing process. Like a lot of doing happens from deep relaxation and non-doing. It's weird, both and kind of thing, but it's definitely not a passive bypass, dissociate kind of thing. It's a deeply engaged present state of being and not doing simultaneously while we're doing.
That's the beginning of another conversation, which is actually about creation.
Yeah. I look forward to that. Yeah, that'll be rich, I'm sure. Anything else you want to share before we pause for now?
Now we've named another conversation that we've named the continuation. That feels good to me. Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. I appreciate you. Thanks for being available for this. And thanks, everyone. Enjoy. Yeah, enjoy. Take care.